We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
All throughout the afternoon, all right. Fred came in. I think he did this multiple times. And
how about old Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
Thank you, Kenny. He goes, don't forget to ask Dan Reardon about the Augusta thing. And I'm like, hey, he said it like three times. Guess what I forgot to do?
Ask him about the Augusta thing.
Right. Do you know what I'm talking about here?
I don't, because you never asked about the Augusta thing.
Yeah, I forgot. Well, it's golf-related, which is why I was supposed to ask him. So we already knew that there was this guy that had plans for this big development out in Augusta, which is one of my favorite parts of the entire planet, probably. I used to love riding my bike out there. Wine country is great.
Nice.
So now there's more details. David Hoffman is the guy's name. It's a $100 million plan to transform Augusta, two hotels, a 500-seat amphitheater, riverboat cruises, and they describe it as a championship golf course. But it's only it's going to be a 12-hole course, which makes no sense.
Really? They're going to call it the Augusta Junior National.
Well, and Reese Jones is going to design it, and he's a pretty, thank you, Dave.
Dave,
he's actually bowing in studio right now.
There's really no need for that.
So I don't know. And the other thing I would say is that I think some people out there are excited about that, but on the other hand,
12? I don't get the 12. Can someone help me out? Is that just the limited land, I guess?
When you want to play more than 9, but don't have time for 18. Honestly, I'd love it.
Quite
I really would.
12 is probably about the right number for golf.
Is
it really is.
All right, well, that's
because
fair.
Otherwise, you're out there for 4 to 5 hours. So 9,
maybe 9
is not enough. I kind of like the idea. I just don't know if that's the answer.
I have to say, when you said the Augusta thing, I was thinking golf and Augusta National. It just occurred to me about 2 minutes ago that you were talking about Augusta, Missouri, and wine country. Missouri.
Same thoughts
wine
here,
country.
Sue.
Yes, okay. Yes. But it's an interesting story that's sort of been developing, but there was a news conference today, and they had more details. But I forgot to ask Dan about it. So.
Well, that's what I've heard.
We had Heather McDonald on not too long ago from the Manhattan Institute. She wrote a piece in the City Journal that I thought at the time, I really want to talk about it. Got into the weeds a little bit because it was about wokeism in classical music, but it was fascinating. But now there's a follow-up, and Heather's with me this afternoon. How are you, Heather McDonald? Good to have you back.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Give that short synopsis of the previous column and some of the things that were at play here with classical music not being, racially appropriate, as we discovered, right?
Right. It's in the Black Lives Matter crosshairs that are teaching potential new audiences to think of classical music through the poisonous lens of race. The claim is that there's not enough blacks in orchestras or chamber music ensembles, and there's not enough black composers in the European tradition. Well, the fact of the matter is that Europe was historically white. So not surprisingly, the great composers, whether it's Bach or Mozart or Chopin or Brahms, are white, just as if you go to India, that is, the great composers there are going to be Indian, and if you go to Africa, they're going to be African. But only in the case of Western classical music is the demographics, the historical reality of our demographics, used to tear down what I believe is one of the great creations of the human mind, which is the extraordinary legacy of classical music.
So I'm first violin over across the pond, and I'm pretty talented, and I have a lot of experience. But here's the problem. I'm also white, and I'm expecting my contract to be removed. What happened?
Yeah. Well, you get booted out because now diversity is much more important than musical excellence. There was an organization called the English Touring Opera, which was really quite an admirable group. It brings operas and a very imaginative repertoire to smaller towns and cities across England that wouldn't necessarily have access to live opera and vocal performances. And ordinarily, the musicians who were all chosen on merit would expect to be renewed year to year. That's just the practice.
Well, and here's another thing that's important, because I remember we talked about this last time. But when let's say I'm auditioning for a symphony, that's actually done anonymously, right?
Right. Most auditions for orchestras are done behind a screen to guard against bias so that the auditioners can't favor either their friends or they can't favor somebody by race, not that that would ever happen today, or somebody by sex. Again, that would never happen today, but they're usually blind. What the historical practice was with this group, I don't know, but what we have today in our usual utterly insane, utterly counterfactual racism narrative is the illogical, impossible claim that a blind audition is racist, that you know, it's the usual idea that color blindness is now racist. So the English Touring Opera may have used blind auditions in the past, it may not. But in any case, these musicians were there because of their quality. Half of them were sent letters just this last month saying, we're not renewing your contract. And the guy was, the director was absolutely explicit about why. It's not that we've decided you're not up to snuff anymore musically. It's that you don't contribute to diversity. You're all white. And so they fired these people because they're white in order to hire in Britain it's not POC, the term is MBE, which is the same thing of people of color or minority musicians.
And I think you pointed out in the piece, Heather, that this is not a company, English Touring Opera, that has been particularly woke in the past, right?
No, it's you know, there is a strain of weird politics in, especially in Europe, when it comes to opera, of these really atrocious revisionist stagings that are completely antithetical to the composer's intent. The English Touring Opera hasn't been in that vein. It's been very respectful of the works it's produced. So this just shows, Mark, as you suggest, how widespread this is. And it's also a funding issue. Now, this is a largely government-funded organization, something called the Arts Council England, which is typical in that it just vomits forth hundreds of pages of diversity bromides and boilerplate. It analyzes some of the greatest cultural institutions in Britain, whether it's the Royal Shakespeare Company or the London Symphony Orchestra, based on their racial metrics. So the Royal Shakespeare Company is only 3% minority, as if anybody should give a damn. But you better believe that the Royal Shakespeare Company is now going to come under enormous pressure.
Right, absolutely. So do these, I'm assuming, and I think you pointed this out in the piece, the musicians have a union, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Okay, so what does the union say about all this?
Well, the union declared itself appalled, but I said that in my piece that I don't think we should give much credit to the union, because the union, too, has embraced diversity rhetoric. It wants quotas in its own membership and hiring. It wants quarterly diversity trainings in musical organizations. So the fact of the matter is, once you embrace this diversity rhetoric, this is exactly where you end up. There is no holding it back. What was different about and significant about this incident was that for once we saw the inevitable zero-sum quality of racial preferences right before our eyes. Usually it's off stage. You know, somebody doesn't get a job because of a quota, but that person who didn't get the job can never be too sure. Maybe he actually wasn't qualified. Or when a college student with very, very competitive SATs and GPA is not admitted to the college of his choice, and he can look around and see his classmates that are black with much lower SATs and GPAs getting admitted, he can suspect that he was the victim of a racial quota, but you can never be quite sure. This time we actually saw it, you know, and it turns out that the public doesn't have much stomach for seeing the diversity sausage being made.
Well, yeah, that was going to be my next question. Heather McDonald at the Manhattan Institute. So now, and you know, I think most people listening to this had never heard about this unless they heard you on the show previously, but is this getting some attention then in the UK, and are people reacting in a way that, like, you and I are reacting? Is that what you're saying?
I think the media coverage has been pretty negative. It was first in the Sunday Times, and then the Telegraph has written about it, and the Daily Mail, of course. And the English Touring Opera sent out a press release that was sort of on the defensive, and the Arts Council England sent out a press release saying, we never ordered them to send this letter. Well, of course they didn't. They didn't need to. But if you're telling your grantees that we expect you to prioritize diversity, which is their language, this is the inevitable result. But yes, we see the institutions involved be thrown on the defensive, which is a good thing. Am I optimistic that it will stop the diversity destruction of our culture? I am not.
Let me ask this question. Do you have any thoughts? Because I think this is the absolute wrong way to approach this. You certainly agree. I think a lot of people would agree. Is there a right way to approach it when it comes to diversity?
Well, it's the pipeline is the problem. Every orchestra out there would love to have more black players. They're just not in the pipeline to the same extent. We have classical music now used to be dominated by Jewish families who were obsessed with their children learning an instrument. Now it's dominated by Asian families. If you want more blacks in orchestras, black families have to step up and start immersing their kids. And ideally, we would get public music education back in the schools.
Yeah, that would seem to be a positive way to go about it. You incentivize, you have people that focus on music education. We've lost a lot of that emphasis with the arts, and you go about it that way. Look, there's a lot of, unfortunately, there's a lot of poor kids, white, black, or otherwise, that just can't afford to get into some of these things.
Right, and the fact of the matter is, it's not just a matter of affording it, it's that the culture has moved so far away from any connection to classical music. There used to be in popular and on TV on the Ed Sullivan Show, you know, he had Metropolitan Opera stars on his variety show, and regular CBS broadcasts on the radio would have full orchestra concerts. That's not the case. But the problem that scares the heck out of me, Mark, is that you now have the Guardians, the classical music press, adopting this racial victimology language, which is just going to be the nail in the coffin of classical music.
Right. And do you think that you're a print person, so I've always been curious about this. Who are these woke reporters and editors? They have to be the younger people or maybe not. I mean, I know we have people here at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch that are older and woke.
Yeah, I think it's quite pervasive. The lead music critic of the New York Times, Anthony Tomasini, he's probably in his 60s as I am, and he was the one that called for removing the screen, the blind auditions in orchestras to try to get more blacks in there. I mean, that is really just an amazing attack on the idea of merit and excellence. But it is worse among young people that come out of these colleges that have been just brainwashed, not just in college, but now in K-12, to think of seeing white supremacy in every institution in this country. But there's also people in older generations who are just jumped on the bandwagon, and it makes them feel self-righteous that they're opposing the redneck, foaming at the mouth Trump supporters who they believe are all ready to, engage in domestic terrorism, which is a complete lie. Yeah,
well, it's just a joke. Heather McDonald, great work here. And again, I described it as a little bit in the weeds, but it's important, and I want people to know about it. So thanks for coming on here again this afternoon.
Every institution that you love is in the crosshairs.
About it. Thank you, Heather. Always great work.
Thank you, Mark.
Heather McDonald at the Manhattan Institute. You know, she mentions
is
the
awesome.
You know what she conjured up for me? She is awesome, by the way. She conjured up the image, and I was going through Webster Groves one time earlier this summer, where there's a group, and I think they might do this on a regular basis. There's a group of older, I'd say elderly, they're probably in their 70s, maybe upper 60s, white guilty people that stand at the corner of downtown Webster Groves with their BLM signs. And even if you just go down Elm, you'll see BLM signs in those beautiful houses because they feel like it's a requirement. It's almost like a city, you know, municipal law that dictates you if you don't virtue signal, if you don't go out there and stand with your guilty white ass holding a BLM sign, that's you're still a racist, because what those guilty white people are doing, they're being anti-racist. They're going out there with their signs and they feel good about themselves.
Yep.
And they're going to get rid of, you know, white people in classical music because we got too damn many of them.
And you know what? What is more impartial than a blind audition? You can't even see the person. It's only about the music.
That's what makes it even more comical. Now, her point here was excellent on culture. You can't force the culture back into the culture. Now, cost is usually a factor, too. Like, let's look at tennis. You like tennis. Mm-hmm. Golf, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have a lot of African-American golfers.
Not in the culture.
Certainly not professional, because it's not in the culture. Is there something wrong with that? I don't think there is.
No.
Different.
By the way.
We can have different interests and likes, right?
You're right. And there are more in tennis. They're starting to go that way. But what do? Do you just shut it down until that happens?
Yes, apparently you do.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, we have Tom Homan from ICE coming up, former acting director. But I did want to get into this SLU story because I find it interesting, Sue. We've had two suicides. One relatively public,
Are we talking about
students.
The college?
Yeah. So,
not the high school.
No, I'm sorry. I should make that clear, though. Thank you very much. St. Louis University has canceled classes on Friday because two students have died.
Oh,
by suicide, right? So Jeff Fowler, who is the vice president of communication, says two student deaths in less than 2 weeks is just overwhelming. This is a very, very difficult time for all our students. We want to be able to do everything we can to not only help them, but support them and move forward. We don't ever want to see anything like this happen ever again. So the first one happened on Saturday night, and this was in a public area of the campus that was visible to people. I know some of the details of that. I will not share them right now. Some people know what happened. Some people don't know what happened, but it was public. And if you had to see it happen, it was probably very horrifying.
Oh.
On Monday, you had a 22-year-old die inside a residence hall who committed suicide. So the way that this is described in the newspaper account by students and staff is that the campus is on edge. Students are sharing their concerns. Here's one of the quotes from a student. Everyone is sharing a general consensus of fear that this will happen again and that this second event will further other students' feelings of being alone, which these are real things that are happening, mental health issues with young people. I have, unfortunately, a situation with a niece right now who's really, really struggling. I have a very close friend whose son is in bad shape right now in, you know, this age group, 19 to 20. It's terrible.
Yeah.
But this is interesting to me. Should we have a day off of classes for the entire campus because of this? What? You know, just bear with. I'm not trying to be insensitive here, which I often am trying to be insensitive. So just so people know, that's sometimes my mission. In this particular case, I'm genuinely asking a question. Like, if the administration at SLU is trying to help, they don't want this to happen again, the student, how will this actually help?
I'm not sure it will. I think it's just they're trying to send a message that we, too, are concerned and supporting you. But I understand what you're saying.
I think that's called virtue signaling, isn't it? I think that's called virtue signaling. Because what kid is going to – I know that some of these kids have been affected. All right? Maybe they need counseling. Maybe,
well,
they're offering some mental health counseling. But you're telling me that given the whole campus a day off when the whole damn campus hasn't been in class very often in the last 20 months, the whole campus had to sit in a dorm room, or really they kicked him out. They had to send him home. My niece who goes to SLU had to do her classes last year, you know, before last fall in you know, her bedroom at her home in Chicago. So that's the best path moving forward. That's my insensitive question.
I do not know. I don't know if there's even a good answer for that.
Well,
now,
I think the answer is they felt like they had to do something. What can we do to show the SLU community that we care? We cancel classes. That's the best you can do?
If that's your roommate or if that's somebody down the hall, then you probably really want someone to talk to. But the whole campus,
that's my point. Some people are going to be very affected by this in more direct ways than others. And having the whole campus just, you know, be fearful of this happening again, which they have no control over, makes little, if no sense to me, but that happens on a regular basis. 525, Tom Homan used to run ICE. He's completely outraged by what's happening right now at the border, and you should be too. He fills us in next on 97.1 FM Talk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
No major developments in the Gabby Petito case, but they're now searching an area sued down in Florida, a swampy area that has a lot of alligators for the boyfriend. But nothing has turned up today. We'll have a little bit more on that. I have some audio as we get into the segment right before audio cut of the day. And if you heard, I asked Dave about this. He was all up to speed. The TikTok lick challenge.
Oh,
the
no.
Devious
the
lick.
The devious lick.
Yes.
No.
Okay, it's called
tell
the devious
me
lick.
What
we'll,
it is.
I will tell you coming up here.
Wait, I kind of really want to know. Well, that's a good tease.
5:45.
It's idiotic.
I'm going to tell you about it here coming
I'm
up.
I'm stunned.
Tom Homan is with me. He is the former acting director of ICE. We're going to talk about the border. It is a disaster. It's a mess. Tom is fired up. Tom Homan, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm irritated, but I'm doing all right.
Yeah, you're making the case, by the way, and I think you're right, that this administration's kind of been lying about all this from the beginning, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's not even stretching the truth. It's just stone-cold lying. And I've been calling the secretary off from day one. The secretary can't go on national TV, even yesterday, saying the border's secure. It's just ridiculous. We see the video. And look, I said it yesterday. 350,000 gotaways? You call that secure? 220 miles of border in Texas that is unguarded because you move those resources over to deal with this Haitian issue. Is that secure? I mean, and you got the Haitians moving back and forth from Mexico to get food and supplies freely, entering the United States multiple times to set up their tent that's on U.S. property. This is the most unsecure border I've seen.
I don't know how you can argue with that. Honestly, how can anyone argue with that based on what we're seeing? Now, can you help me with the Haitian situation right now? Because this is a little confusing to me. They're not coming through Florida, which would have been a more obvious route. So how does this happen with the Haitians coming through Mexico?
Most of these Haitians are coming from Peru and Central and South America, where they've been for years working. But look, they see the news, and the cartels are trying to sell their businesses to everybody. The border's open. People are getting released in the country every day. So the Haitians said, well, hell, you know, I'm not Haitian anymore. I'm down here. I got a job in Peru. But, you know, who wouldn't want to be in the United States? So they all coming up here. You know, the DHS wants to say, well, they're being lied to about temporary protection status. It's not true. Look, so what's your reason for the other 150 countries that come across that border so far this year? 150 different countries. Natives from 150 countries have been arrested. This is about open borders. So what really irritates me is the people that are releasing, they say they're not deporting everybody, far from it. They're actually turning a lot over to ICE, and ICE give them to a city, and ICE release them because the department will tell them to. But they're releasing people on asylum fears. Okay, they're claiming asylum from Haiti, but they haven't been in Haiti in five, 6 years. They have no asylum claims. They don't live there anymore. So, you know, so it's ridiculous that they're even accepting their asylum claims, considering they haven't been in Haiti in years. They're not escaping the fear and persecution of the Haitian government because they're not there. It's ridiculous what this administration is doing.
So then you have the images, Tom, of the migrants who were camping out under the overpass near Del Rio. Now, they're not necessarily there right now, but they were just sort of spread out to other areas and released, weren't they?
Yes. And that's what irritated me when the DHS secretary said they will don't come because you'll be arrested and removed. Okay, well, how about the thousands you released already? How about the Haitians that you've released right there, either at the port of entry or you gave the ICE and ICE release? And that's why Secretary Johnson, I mean, Secretary, Senator Johnson asked yesterday, how many people have been deported and how many have been removed? And the secretary didn't have the answer. And Senator Johnson, you should have that. Why don't you have that information? And I was the ICE director. Those reports are generated daily. So he has the numbers at his fingertips if he wants them. But, of course, he's not going to give them the numbers because they're embarrassing.
What would you say, you know, this is getting even more attention today, some of the images of the border agents on the horses accused of whipping some of the Haitian migrants. What do you say about that, Tom?
I say it's a bunch of crap. I talk to because, you know, I don't see anybody whipping anybody. If you look at it, I talked to a guy who ran the horse patrol and the border patrol for years. I actually called him yesterday because I was, hey, what are the rules on horse patrol?
Yeah.
They've learned as part of their training, the reins on the horse, to keep people away from them and the horse, they spin it as a way to protect themselves and the horse. So if there's any spinning of the reins, it's how they're trained to keep people away from the horse. They don't want people hitting the horse or stabbing the horse. And,
right.
And these people were clearly ignoring official commands to get back. So this guy's protecting himself and the horse. Well, of course, now the left goes all over. They're trying to change the narrative, right?
Right, right.
The thousands. Let's talk about this border patrol agent who's whipping a black person with a whip. Just ridiculous. And let me tell you something. Kamala Harris is disgusting. She gets on TV and what a terrible, terrible sight that was. But not a word about the two ICE agents that were assaulted on the removal flight down to Haiti because they stormed the plane and two agents got hurt.
Yeah,
not a word
exactly.
About the agents in San Antonio that were trying to board two flights with Haitians and they had to shut down the flights because the Haitians got violent and attacked the ICE officers. How about little understanding of the job these men and women are putting their lives on line? They're getting hurt, but you don't hear a single word about the men and women in green getting hurt.
Yeah, and Tom, by the way, and you know this, so now this has moved from the vice president being concerned about this to Derek Johnson, who's the head of the NAACP. They're claiming they want a meeting now with the president because of the humanitarian crisis, but it's not because of the immigrants that are flooding over the border. It's because of the alleged whipping, and they say that matches the darkest moments in American history. So now the focus is going to be on that, not the true crisis.
So they want to change the narrative.
Yes.
They got to get away from this narrative. This narrative is really hurting the administration. Hey, look, if that officer did something wrong, the inspector general will investigate it and hold him accountable. I didn't see him do anything wrong, but that would be up to the special agents and inspector general's office. What really sad is they work for the secretary, and the secretary's already on record saying how much that, I forgot the word he used, but he was deeply hurt by the film, and he was disgusted by it. Now, you think there's going to be a fair investigation now by the IG that works for the man that made those comments?
No.
So, you know, they're just trying to change the narrative, man, because the narrative of what's going on, the film of what's going on, you can't deny it. And like I said, he can hide and run, say the border secure all you want. He's an embarrassment to American people to get on national. He's our Secretary of Homeland Security, and he's going to lie to the American people about the video we're seeing. We're not seeing. He's going to lie about the gotaways that got away. He's going to lie about 90,000 overdose deaths of fentanyl that comes across that border because the border is less protected. Is he going to lie about 200 miles of border that's unprotected under his command? He's a Secretary of Homeland Insecurity.
Yeah, yeah.
This homeland is more insecure under him than anybody. He needs to be removed.
I'm guessing, well, and by the way, one of our senators here, Josh Hawley, was tough on Mayorkas yesterday during that hearing, so that's a good thing. But look, now you have the president, and this is more of a political question, Tom. I don't know if you want to handle this one. The president has the progressives angry at him because he might deport people back to Haiti. The moderate Democrats don't think he did enough. The Republicans know that this whole thing has been a complete mess, so I don't know what the out is for the administration on this.
They're going to implode, and I can't wait to see it. If all he had to do is let the system play itself out. We had the most secure border in my career. He could have kept that and built upon it, and been the first president to actually, you know, finish the few loopholes we had left and say, "Look, I got the secure border. I got it done," with the help of President Trump. That's a victory for anybody to say we actually secured our southern border and shut down a vulnerability in national security. But instead, he made promises during the campaign to win the progressive left because he needed their votes to win. This man sold out to the progressive left to become president. And now, you know, you make a deal with the devil, you got to deal with him now. Now they're in his back pocket, just like the whole deal with Israel, cutting out $1 billion for defense funding for Israel. The progressive won that. They won that argument with him. he's cowtailing to the progressives, and pretty soon the tone implode. American people are going to stand for it.
Hey, Tom, I have one more question. Going back to the agents on horseback, because there some people think maybe this was something that the Biden administration did. You know, you send the agents up to charge at the migrants. There's a visual there. Is that something that typically the ICE agents would do, from your experience as acting director?
This happened before in I remember the Trump administration when they rushed the port of entry in San Ysidro over San Diego, that there was a plan to put the women and children in front to rush them. So when they used tear gas, they gave the optics of, oh, they're tear gassing women and children. If you look at it yesterday, the Border Patrol agent screaming that was on the horse,
yeah.
What was he saying? How dare you put the women and children in front of you? So it's the same scenario. And, of course, it just happens to be somebody there with a camera and a video camera, right? Yeah, that's a coincidence. But you know, look, if you listen to what the Border Patrol agent said, he said the exact same thing. I forget the exact words, but what are you doing putting women and children up front here? So, you make a good point. Is it staged? There's a good possibility it was.
Well, especially now that we know that a lot of these optics and everything, you know, are suspects. So I think there's reason to at least ask questions about that. And then, you know, I'm sure, did you hear Ducey from Fox in the press room yesterday kind of nailed Jen Psaki on the issue of the vaccinations? Because everyone else is required to show proof of vaccination, but apparently not the Haitians and the immigrants that are crossing over the border illegally.
Let me tell you the situation down the border. You got men and women wearing green, putting their lives on line for this country every day, doing the best they can, and they've been put in a terrible position. They're going to lose their jobs if they don't get vaccinated. That's the mandate. However, they're arresting thousands of people a day, entering the country illegally, which is a crime, and they don't have to be vaccinated. You know, God help us. I cannot believe this administration. Look, men and women of Border Patrol have been abandoned by the president. They've been abandoned by the Secretary of Homeland Security. They're still going out there and putting their lives online, getting sick, working overtime, taking sicknesses home to their own families. They're saved over 8,000 lives this year of people drowning in the river or dying in the desert. These are the finest 1% in our nation. They deserve better. I'm disgusted that this White House has turned their back on these men and women.
Tom Holman, you've been on fire today. I really appreciate it. Former acting ICE director Tom Holman back with us on 97.1 FM Talk. Tom, stay on it. I know you will.
Well, they're not going to shut me up.
Take care. Thank you again.
Bye-bye.
Man, he's been a guest. Fred, he's been on with us, I don't know how many times, but that's probably about as fired up as I've heard Holman.
I think so. He's really fired up.
And he should be. Because,
with good reason, right, yes.
With very, very good reason. Absolutely. 542. We haven't done an update on the Gabby Petito story, and there's some new information today, a little bit new audio as well. I'll feature that for Audio Cut of the Day next on 97.1 FM Talk. Are your friends all in low places underneath the neon
moon? Stand by. Playback ready. Now, the Audio Cut of the Day.
Well, we're going to focus a little here on the Gabby Petito case, because there have been a few things that have happened today. Sue, you looked at the most recent developments, and the most recent developments are a little confusing, I would say.
Yeah, they sent dive teams down. You know, he said that he had gone to this 25,000-acre reserve near his home in Florida, and they sent down dive teams this morning of 10 really serious divers that know how to find things in water associated with crime or dark water. I mean, they are pros. And I don't know why water, whether they think he's tried to harm himself.
Right, because you would think that that's not random.
Right.
They're looking for a reason. Now, they sent dogs in also, but it's the whole thing is an odd situation. But it gets even weirder with some of this. So there was a woman that was on Good Morning America today. Miranda Baker is her name. And she claims that she picked up Brian Laundrie on August 29th, 4 days after the last time that Gabby Petito is known to have called her family. So she disappeared right around this time. Here's Miranda Baker.
He approached us asking us for a ride because he needed to go to Jackson, which we were going to Jackson that night. So I said, you know, hop in. He hopped in the back of my Jeep. Before he came in the car, he offered to pay us like $200 to give him a ride.
That's weird right there, right?
Whoa.
$200. What would that be about? Yeah, okay.
Wait, okay.
Like 10 miles. So that was kind of weird. He then told us he's been camping for multiple days without his fiance. He did say he had a fiance, and that she was working on their social media page back at their van.
So that's one person who did run into, you know, Laundrie. Then there's this guy, Bill Guthrie, who is the neighbor to the parents, and he's commenting on their action or inaction.
I think it was them protecting their son, but I think they just took it too far. If if their son was innocent, I don't feel that they should have lawyered up as soon as he came back into the state. And I felt that if he had nothing to do with it, then they should have released a statement somehow stating his innocence.
Yeah. You know, one of the questions my wife had, we were talking about this case this morning or last night, and she said, well, are the parents potentially in trouble? I said, well, potentially. It depends what they did. I mean, if they have information that, you know, text messages, emails, that they tried to cover something up, then potentially. But the law is very specific. So if this laundry kid just did things on his own, the parents took a, you know, don't ask, don't tell approach, there might not be any criminal responsibility on their part.
So you're just saying that he would have disappeared, not come home one night, and they didn't think anything of it?
I don't know.
I mean, 3 days.
What I'm saying
time.
Is that you would have, in order for the parents, I think, to be specifically charged with a crime,
that you'd have to have proof of him saying goodbye.
Well,
on
they,
such
they
and
may
so
have
date.
That because they went in, they grabbed
That's
a bunch of information.
Mean.
Then the other question is, how did this kid just get away, right?
If I can stand on the sidewalk and watch his house, so can the cops. It's their right, too. Well, I hate to pile on the cops. Where in the hey were they when
Laundrie
just walks out of the house? Yes, it's the FBI. But think about it. He had to be secreted out. I mean, think about it. How did he get out with that Ford Mustang and nobody see? He had to have help getting out secretly. Mm. He didn't just prance out across the front yard.
Okay, well, that's where the parents...
That's actually a good point.
That is a good point. That's Nancy Grace, by the way. That might be where the parents could be in a little trouble. The whole thing is weird, it's bizarre, and let's face it, we love this stuff in this country, right?
We do.
I don't know if other countries get into missing girl stories as much as we do, but we love the stories, and, you know, I'd be dishonest if I would say that I'm not interested in it because...
No, it's fascinating. And people online have adopted it and are sending people out. I mean, it's become an obsession, an online obsession.
Well, I think part of it is not only because you have a young, pretty girl and you have, you know... I think a lot of it is because of the parents getting involved. You take the parents out of the mix. Let's say the kid does this. He doesn't go to his parents' house. And then he doesn't just disappear. Let's say it's a missing girl and they're looking for him. I guess I'm trying to make this point in a long-winded way, that the parents harboring him and not saying things and being secretive, that's making this all worse.
Well, it is. And the fact that he showed back up in her vehicle and said, oops, she's not here.
Right.
And then they didn't take him into custody or search his house. That's part of what Nancy Grace is referring to when she says piling on.
And I think the weirder the story is and the more twists and turns, the more people get invested too.
I agree.
You're right. All right, we'll go out with some music here because, Dave, you found this. They're doing an expanded edition in just a couple of weeks of the Beatles' Let It Be. And Universal Music is releasing some of the alternative takes and the mixes in the upcoming deep dive into the 1970 record. But what's interesting here is it's hard to tell the difference between the real Get Back and this is Get Back take 8 from the Beatles.
JoJo was a man who thought he was a loner, but he knew it could.
Sounds pretty similar to me. We'll go
does.
Out with it here, and I am looking forward to that release in just a couple of weeks from the Beatles. It's a 5-CD, 6-LP Let It Be reissue due out October 15th. Have a great night. We'll talk tomorrow.
Back to where you once belong. Get back to where you once belong. Get back, JoJo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.